in Yeshiva and open it again now. And to read in the Mishneh Berurah, the Chayim said in Mishneh Berurah, Sheiten liboy zerayono, his heart and his mind, that he stayed every Shmona Esrei three times a day. Where? Beveit Kodesh HaKodoshim, Asher Bamikdosh. That has to be all our attention on tefillahs. This kind of tefillahs be totally different. There is the one gate, only on Beit Kodesh HaKodoshim. Dear friends, I come now, I came a little bit later. I want to stay, we know it, and I have to finish, I know, believe me, I know it, it's exactly. We went with his daughter and his son-in-law, we went from Rehovot. I got a telephone call. Avkuk, Eifata Akshav, where are you now? Said, I come to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. I told them, I came to hundreds of boys laying in Eretz Yisrael. And they told me, other hundreds of boys, girls are waiting you now. Where? In the park of the city, came together, I believe, 1,000 children, the Bnei Akiva, and the pioneers, Asofin, the Isofin Datiin, and they stayed, prepared themselves to light Hanukkah candles. I told Mr. Terry and the young son-in-law, Rabbi Hunes, please, you know, return back. And asked Rabbi Hunes' daughter, call your father, I know by mother, but the daughter by the father, she will not be upset. We'll be a little bit late. I spoke about Hanukkah, a few moments, I told him, now only a few moments, I couldn't be too late here. And dear friends, the Yidav Kuk had every month one sentence to include the meaningful of this month. Meged Yerachim. What is he saying about Chodesh Kislev? And he said as follows. He said the flame of the Hashmonaim exploded for sparks. At the time the spark will come together, the flame, that will be our redemption. To explain what he means. The Hashmonaim was a tremendous fire of Avodas Hashem. One family. Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hashmonaim Uvono, that's it. To fight against the empire of Alexander Mogdon. Empire till India they arrived. The whole around the Mediterranean Sea belongs to them. All countries all around. One family. One person, one old person from Moshe's Canaan, to fight against them, there is any hope that they will succeed, they will win, they are going to be totally impossible. And they have done what is impossible, because it was a miracle, but somebody had to start it. And they started it. Because of what? They don't want to send us away from Eretz Yisrael. They said you could stay over here. They don't want to destroy our Mikdosh. Let them misunderstand. They like beautiful houses like that, palaces like that. That was the grace, that was philosophy. But they want to take our Neshome away, to take away Shabbos, Bris Milah, whole mitzvahs, to bring sacrifice to it, for the Avodah Zarah. To bring Chazer under Mizbeach. Seller of Kuk. The fire, the flame of the Hashmonaim. Where is it now? Afghan? Impossible. We have it. Where is it? Here's the answer. Here are the Hashmonaim. Everyone has a spark of Hashmonaim inside. If it be a unity of Klal Yisrael, and the sparks will come together like a new flame, like a new fire, that will be Be'ezrat Hashem, the redemption. Every one of you now has to decide, next year, third year, One plus one in Torah life is not double. One shekel plus one shekel, you have two shekels. $1 with one plus $1 were $2. Even though the treatment of the dollars in God would was. But it's not more than two. 1 year plus second year is 10 years. And one plus two plus another one is three. It's not three. It's 30 years, 50 years. In total, it's totally different criteria to stay longer. And if somebody will decide to return back, you will get now a little bit long vocation to stay in your college to finish it, but you have to know. Coming here to 1 year, you belong to Eretz HaKodesh. And you will return back in Eretz Hashem. When? Okay, not easy, but that has to be the opinion to know what are we doing this year over here. To become Bnei Eretz HaKodesh. Yoshrei Eretz HaKodesh. Everyone of you. Bezad Hashem Yisboach, but you will have to learn to use every second being here, Livlana, leaving the Ocean Parkway to stay in Ben Yehuda Street over there. To sit and to learn Torah, it's so wonderful, Shita, so rabbi that you have, to grow in Torah in Yerushalayim every second.
2 years ago, at a conference of rabbis in the United States of America, I told the story behind my own decision to come on Aliyah. But I didn't tell the whole story. And I want to use the next few minutes to tell you the rest of the story. I had to make the decision to come on Aliyah. It was in November of 1981. It's an extremely difficult decision to make. Beautiful community I lived in, beautiful home, good job, give it all up, and just come on Aliyah. But for years I wanted to come on Aliyah, and I knew if I'm not going to do it then, I'm not going to make it. But it's a wrenching decision. It's a difficult one. And I was overwhelmed by the awesomeness of the decision. Now, living in West Hempstead, up the block, a few houses from us, there was a family of Bali Tshuva. And these Bali Tshuva, one day they tell me, we became very close friends, and they tell me, Rabbi, we're going on Aliyah. I asked them, why are you going on Aliyah? So they said, well, listen, we've been listening to the Torah reading every week. It seems that all of Torah says, it's Israel, so we're going on Aliyah. Now, they had a dog. I had a dog by the name of Charlie. I don't like dogs. But I did begin to like Charlie. Charlie had derech eretz. Had kvod haTorah. When Charlie saw me, Charlie would come and snuggle on my arm. He was a collie, very beautiful dog. His nose was always running. I'd run home and I'd wash my hands. But we sort of got to like each other. We understood each other. We don't find many Balabatan good dogs like this, like John. Anyway, here comes the time that I have to make the decision about whether to go on Aliyah or not. Charlie's parents had gone on Aliyah, but they left him with a neighbor on the block. At night, about 10, 11 o'clock, I'd usually take a walk, thinking about a shir, thinking about a drasha. And every night I'd go out, and Charlie's foster parents would be walking with him, and you know what Charlie would do? He saw me, he'd come running, snuggling up to me. It was this relationship that was developed between the two of us. Anyway, here comes the night that I have to make the decision. Family had already decided they want to go. But ultimately, the decision was made up to me. I had to give up a job, take a new job. It's very difficult. And I'm talking about a family with five teenage children. That's just about the best time in life to come on Aliyah. Anyway, I'm innocently walking along the street, Colonnade Road in West Hampstead, and who comes? Charlie comes snuggling up. And then his foster parents come and tell me, Rabbi, you won't believe what happened today. We got a call from Israel. They bought a ticket for Charlie. Charlie's going on Aliyah. I gave a scream on the street. That hunt, that dog is going to go on Aliyah. And I'm not going to go on Aliyah. And I made the decision. If there's a heaven for dogs, Charlie Oliver Sholem is there. Zohar also HaKelev Letev Oliver Sholem. There are a lot of Charlies. The Rebbein Shlomo sends messages to Klal Yisrael, Kol Yom Vayom, Bas Kol Yotzeis Mehar Chodei, the Gemara says in Brachos. There's a voice that comes out from heaven. Goshen sends messages. Thank God when the messenger is Charlie and the messenger isn't anti-Semitism. But there are messages all the time. The Rebbein Shlomo wants Jews to come home. But I'll tell you the part of the story that I didn't say was why did I reach the point that I heard Charlie's message. So I have to give you a little history. My father, Oliver Sholem, passed away in Eretz Yisrael. It was 1980. My father worked in a factory all his life. He cut leather for women's shoes. When he'd come home every night, he would sit down and learn. He set a shiur for Balabakim in Williamsburg, the most probably the best attended shiur. Talmidei Chachamim sat by him. And he didn't learn Megillah with them or Tainus. I remember I was a little boy. I used to watch him every night. He learned Erevin. And he didn't have an internet, and he didn't have anything like that. He made his own diagrams, and Talmidei Chacham sat by his feet. My father was a big Ohev Eretz Yisrael. Friday night at the table, I would hear him, there were times I was looking, boy, he used to start crying. He'd say, poor Moshe. Poor Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. It was the great dream of his life. And he couldn't fulfill it. As a little boy, like I felt so bad for poor Moshe. My father died in 1980, as I said. He never owned a home, never owned a car, had very few worldly possessions. All of his possessions were one small suitcase. And even in that suitcase, there were just a few items in there. And sometime after he passed away, I opened up the suitcase. There were the wedding invitations of his children that he had saved for years. There were some articles in newspapers about his children that he had saved. And then there was an envelope. I opened up the envelope and I read something that, well, may explain a great deal to you. I'm going to read the letter and I'm going to give you the historic background of the letter. The letter was from the Zionist Organization of America. Note the date, August 9th, 1946. August 9th, 1946 was after the Second World War. Eretz Yisrael had burst out into battle. Jews were fighting the British and the Arabs. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were still in the concentration camps that had been turned into, they were DPs, displaced persons. Hundreds of thousands of Jews had no place to go in the world. What began in 1946 most probably was the greatest mass movement of population in history. Jews started walking across Europe to get to the Mediterranean. Maybe they'll get onto some rickety boat that will get them to Eretz Yisrael. August 9, 1946, Mr. Gold, 91 Lee Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. Dear Mr. Gold, I knew nothing of this letter until I read it after his death. We are in receipt of a letter from the Immigration Department of the Jewish Agency for Palestine in Jerusalem, By the way, the Palestinians historically were always us. We were the Palestinians. I remember in Yeshiva Torah Das, we would go out every Mitzvah Shabbos with pushkas to raise money for Palestine. Palestine. That was us. There, the Jewish agency for Palestine dated July 30th, 1946, wherein they inform us that you and your family have been duly registered for Palestine certificates. My father, Olav Hashalom, when Eretz Yisrael was exploding into war in the streets, had applied for Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. But he's told there are no Palestine certificates. You couldn't just come into Eretz Yisrael then. You needed a certificate from the British government. The British government in 1939, the one moment in history that the Jewish people needed Eretz Yisrael more than any in all of their lives, issued a white paper. The white paper said that for the next 5 years, 15,000 Jews a year are going to be permitted into Palestine. And from that day on and forth further, no Jews will ever again be permitted into Palestine. Did you hear? His Majesty's government, 1939. All the doors in the whole world are closing before the Jewish people. And they say that my father and the family, we've all been duly registered for Palestine certificates. The letter goes on to say, however, they state further that owing to the complete lack of certificates at the present time, there is no possibility for them to do anything in your case now. Jews were locked out of Eretz Israel and came as illegal immigrants. They had to battle the British Navy in order to get here. They didn't get on an El Al flight in New York and come here 9 3/4 hours later and complaining about the food in the movie. They couldn't get here. So my father was told that there are no certificates. Let us hope that in the not distant future, an adequate number of certificates will be at their disposal so that all those desiring to go to Palestine will be enabled to do so. 2 years later, with the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, hundreds of thousands of Jews began the journey back to Eretz Israel. The doors are open. Do we take it for granted? Do we take it for granted? It wasn't always so. Jews desperately fought to get into this country, and we have it now. What are we going to do with it? I'll tell you, after Oslo II, one of the terrible documents that was signed by a government, I received a call from the BBC in London. They seemed to have gotten wind of the fact that I was some kind of an activist, and they asked me, what's my opinion of Oslo II? So I told the Englishman on the other side of the phone, I'll tell you exactly what I think about Oslo II. Your government issued a white paper in 1939 prohibiting Jews from entering into Eretz Israel. 10 years later, the white paper was on the trash heap of history. Oslo II is going to be on the trash heap of history in less than 10 years. I never found out if they aired that on the BBC. I wouldn't blame them if they didn't. My father, Olav Hashalom, had a passion for Eretz Yisrael. By the way, the passion for Eretz Yisrael was something that fired all of those people that Rav Kook was talking about. Generations of Jews hoped, dreamt, prayed to come to Eretz Yisrael. And we can do it. And we can do it. Before Charlie, B.C., before Charlie, I was going through the problems that Avi was talking about. Benching became a wrenching experience for me. Know that the Hashem came on Shinchatam with God Almighty, we thank you for giving us Eretz Yisrael 3 times a day. Every time I eat, I'm going to have to say no to the Hashem came. And what am I saying? I thank you, and what? And then I'm not going to go live there, so no thank you. It became very difficult for me. I tell you the truth. If I would have had to hear Shweki's Rachel, I'd be a basket case. They would cry their eyes out. Ah, Uvoho Vilav Kava used to send me. And I once told Hatzlein, before he died, I told him, I came on Aliyah, not only Charlie, not only dogs, but Uvoho in the Eretz Ashur, Vani Tafim Eretz Mitzrayim. Do you know that in davening every day, and on Mondays and Thursdays, four times, you say the same thing, Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu V'katzeinu Min HaGoyim, the Bezel, save us, gather us in from the nations. I don't know how you can say it. I had a great deal of it saying, Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu V'katzeinu Min HaGoyim, Lehodos V'shem, Kotshechu V'stabeh, V'stabeh V'tilotefa. How do we do it? How do we do it? You know, Yavo became a problem, let's say it became a problem. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, Shmon Esrei, Shmon Esrei. Baruch Aleinu. The blessing of Eretz Yisrael, and immediately after that, the Kabbash Shekel Gobel Lechem Seinu. So we have it. Nothing to stop us. We're not in PP camps. We don't have to wait for some British certificate for Palestine. We have it. We have it. Remember, I think it was a few months ago in Toronto, I spoke at a wedding, and I'm not sure if I upset them. Maybe they were upset. And so what if they were upset? So what? I said, you know, you're dancing around over here. We say it time and time again, and it just doesn't sink in. It's unbelievable. Sos tosis, the togel akara. B'kibuz b'meru l'tocha b'simcha. Who's the akara that's going to be full of joy? Who's the akara, the one without her children? The one without her children is Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God, who misameach Tzion, who gives joy to Tzion b'meru with her children. That's what she's waiting for. B'nei Yerushalayim Hashem, nidchei Yisrael yichanetz. When you start having difficulty benching and davening, it's the most blessed pain of all. There were times I'd walk the street in West Hempstead, what would finish me off? I'd smell a pine tree. When I smelled a pine tree, that was Yerushalayim to me. You have to get the historic context. No more Palestinian certificates from the British. It's open. Do you know that in 1946 there were 400,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael? That was it. 400,000. Has it ever occurred to you? I wrote an article like this about this in the Jerusalem Post in 1990. In 1990, I wrote the following: during the course of the next decade, a man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport. And a dramatic change is going to take place in all of Jewish history. Because when that man, woman, or child is going to walk off the plane, Eretz Yisrael is going to become the largest Jewish community of the world. And that's exactly what it is today. The center of Klal Yisrael is here, nowhere else. Can you imagine? Do you know what this is? The most unparalleled and unprecedented movement of population in all of history. It never ever happened that an ancient people en masse return to their ancestral home after an absence of 2,000 years. You're part of that awesome miracle. I tell people who ask me, well, you know, you always find the characters going to say, I don't know the Torah is true, it is true, true, shmoo, it is true, it isn't true. What are you talking about? We are the living fulfillment of hundreds of sukkim of kibbutz dolios. Never happened to anybody else. It's us. We're it. We're the shovel one in Lidvula. We're the oldest in the Eretz Ashur, the Yidach in the Eretz Mitzrayim. Mi'ele ka'ov tiufena. V'chayon arubotein. We're part of an awesome history. Being part of this history makes demands on us. It requires something of us. Am I simply going to look at this history like Mark David Schleifer? and watch the flag go up on the Temple Mount and be completely cut off, not being able to understand. Eretz Yisrael is the largest Jewish community of the world. Who would have dreamt that? I'm amazed that nobody marked this at some point in history. I believe it took place in the last 3 or 4 years. And not always for good reason. Not always for good reason. A great deal of it is the awesome loss of Jewish souls in the United States of America. A profound tragedy. We've lost millions and millions. I remember quoting my father, back to my father. We were 3 boys. In the 50s, he asked us, "Boys, little Yidens on the Hanin in America. How many Jews are there in America?" "Pa, 6,000. 6 million, 6 million. He asked us in the 60s, "Boys, how many Jews are there in America?" "Pa, 6 million. He asked us in the 70s, and when we said 6 million, he said, "I don't understand. 6 million, you told me 30 years ago. They should have been 12, 18, 20 million. What happened to American Jewry? What happened to world Jewry? The only future for Kleinesweil, right here. This is the place where we can build and develop. And boy, we need you now more than we ever needed you before. Everybody in this country, our leadership, weak, all terribly worried and frightened about the demographics. We're soon going to be a minority in our own country. It will never happen. The Rebbeinu Shlomo brought us back here so that we should be developed back in Eretz Yisrael, and that we should build a great, magnificent Jewish community here. You can come here and you can make a difference. American Olim have contributed in every area of life in this country, in Torah, in education, in mathematics, in science, in medicine. And whatever you contribute here, you're doing it for Klal Yisrael. You're doing it for Klal Yisrael. Somehow or other, we have to find a way to reignite that fire. The passion for Eretz Yisrael that was part and parcel of Poshet HaYidden. Where did it go? What happened to it? What happened to it? I don't know what happened to it. I'm fortunate that in that little suitcase with that one letter, my father left me a legacy that's priceless. Priceless! And here we are. It was Rav Kook, Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, that was the one that made it clear to everybody that great things are happening in this country. Rambam was indeed the one who wrote that where the Kedusha of the sanctity is greater, the desolation is greater. He came there and says, "Oh, it was desolate and dry." There's a famous description of Eretz Yisrael toward the end of the 19th century by Mark Twain in Innocents Abroad. Oh, that's worthwhile reading it. But don't read it. Caution. Don't read it unless you have a cold bottle of May Aden next to you, because he describes it's dry, it's dead, it's hot, nothing grows. And I get thirsty every time I read it. 30 years later, 40 years later, Eretz Yisrael is beginning to give out crops, the great Kates HaMegula of Rabbi Abba. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, my student knows this Pasuk by heart. Atem Hore Yisrael, Anpen Teinu, Uferich, and Tisu La'ami Yisrael, Tikir Bulavo. Yechezkel says, mountains of Israel Give out your branches, carry your fruits for my people Israel, because they're coming home. The land, after 1900 years, Eretz Yisrael remained faithful to Klal Yisrael. And when they knew that Jews are about to come back, the land all of a sudden began to give out fruit. The pathos of Eretz Yisrael, that's the proof that great things are happening over here. And then there's some fellow, I was shopping one night in Birchas Rachel, and some fellow from Harnof gets a hold of me and he says, Rabbi Gold, you really think this whole Zionism bit, this Eretz Yisrael bit, this is great? What do you still believe that? We have people standing in the fruit and vegetable section of Birchas Rachel. So I said to him, you're not ashamed of the tomatoes? That cucumbers, they're proof that great things are happening over here. And you can say, you still believe this stuff about Eretz Yisrael. Great things are happening here. We are in an awesome historic process. It's difficult. We need all the help we can get. We need young men coming from the United States with their professions, ready to live here, to have children here, to contribute in every way they possibly can. That's how we're going to win the day. That's how we're going to beat them. That's how we're going to take all those people that are so concerned. We're going to be overrun in this country. We're going to be overrun in this country with Jews coming from all over the world. The great, next great reservoir of Aliyah has got to be from the United States of America. This is the place. You're the ones. I'm sure you're going to know what to do. I'm sure the Rebbeinu is going to be with you. I tell you, be very careful when you daven and when you bench. Listen to what you're saying. Every tefillah and every benching is a lesson of the significance, the kedusha, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to close with Teddy Roosevelt. My wife once found this, so it's on the internet. She printed it out. And where do you put something you print out? You put it on the fridge. And there it was for years on the fridge. Teddy Roosevelt is the one who said, whoever does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. Whoever does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived. For the Jew, for the Fumagid, the Ben Torah, the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, the passion of our time is Eretz Yisrael. Live. Come.